Hi, this is Michael. Before you listen to these next two very short recordings, two recordings that are about 3-minute journal updates back to back, two separate days, I want to give a little bit of background. You'll hear me mention, and particularly in the first recording, about some very painful things that Persis has said to me. But you won't have any background on those things because I'm not sharing those things in this recording. It's not in keeping with the spirit of love to repeat these offenses. What I'm trying to do in keeping with the true spirit of God and His purpose in this recording series is to really only showcase the deceptions that my wife went through as she began to fall away from her pure and sincere devotion to Jesus Christ. Not so much the offenses that occurred along the way to me. The experience of watching her fall away from the faith was painful enough, not to mention the fact that there were a few behind-the-scenes private times when Satan really turned her thinking and her mind against me in ways that were excruciating, that were unthinkable, that gave me a sense of total despair and really, really challenged me in ways I could not have imagined. But I don't want to share those kind of things. They are simply a distraction away from the more important message and motive of this series, which is to warn all of us in these days ahead how easy it can be to fall away from our pure and sincere devotion to Christ. The little things that people say and do to us along the way, they do not matter. Paul taught Timothy that there are those who Satan has taken captive to do his will in 2 Timothy. And so there's no need in repeating those things which Satan has been able to lie about us through, to hurt us, afflict us wounds. There's no need in even repeating those things. What matters is looking at his core schemes and strategies. And I also, not just in helping you hear and understand how it was that the devil led Persis astray in her faith, but I also want you to hear how I'm struggling as a man of God persevering through this, how I'm responding to it, how I'm clinging to God in hope, how I'm clinging to Him in prayer, waiting for Him to give relief, to give me insight and understanding. What you're hearing in this series of recordings is a man who's in the spiritual battle of his life. So also pay attention and learn from my example how to persevere if you yourself are in a situation where you have a family member who's falling away from the faith. And let the rest of the recording serve as a warning to all of us just how easy it is. May God bless you as you continue to listen. It is 5:11 right now. I have no idea if this recording will come out or not. It's 5:11 on June 18th. I'm on my bike on the trail out of Ditto Landing, and I just was thinking about the need to persevere, and I said, Lord, you know how difficult this is when, you know, your family members turn against you like this, and your own wife betrays you with this like this, and how painful it is, God. It hurts so bad, especially I love her so much. And I was thinking about all the promises God has given me to persevere. Coming right behind you.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I was just thinking about these promises that God has given me. Like, I immediately thought of James 5:11, and then I thought of Hebrews 10:33 God's been showing me. Sometimes you were publicly subjected to public insult, stood by those who were also insulted. You had your possessions confiscated and so forth and so on. You had a hope of better possessions in heaven. And then it says in verse 35, so do not throw away your confidence. And that's what I'm asking the Lord about is, you know, Lord, am I okay here? And I need you to encourage me a little bit to keep going because, you know, this has been really tough. And I've also said to the Father, Lord, what if there's any of what she said that's true, please show it to me. I said, God, even if all of it's true and I'm completely deceived, Lord, please, do you show me? And I've prayed this prayer so many times that the Father wouldn't allow me to be deceived. I've begged Him and humbled myself before Him. So I have confidence in that. And I was just saying, Lord, please, you know, encourage me. And I clicked my phone. It was 5:10, and I thought, oh no, it wasn't 5:11. I was a little disappointed. And a few minutes later, I thought about going and making a recording. I looked down, and my phone never turned off. I pushed the button, but the screen didn't turn off, and now it was 5:11. So that's God telling me, persevere. Finish the work He's asked me to do. Then I will receive what has been promised. And James 5:11, you know we consider blessed those who have persevered. You've heard of Job's perseverance and have heard what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of mercy and compassion. And I immediately thought, wow, all of Job's friends turned against him. And it was recorded forever. What they said of him was recorded. And then God, after Job perseveres, shows up and tells his friends, you were wrong. And yet, God was pleased to allow them to speak those things. And they're recorded in the Bible. So perhaps God did call Persis to say these things, and that when he's ready, he will bring correction after I've persevered. It's 4:38 on June 23rd. I am more down than I have been in I don't know how long. I mean, I can't remember the last time I was this down. Yesterday was bad. Today's worse. And I have spent hours making journal recordings about what's been going on with Persis and I. And I probably spent over an hour typing up a long note that had all the details and all the things, the sins that she has committed against me by way of dishonoring and standing against all the things that God has asked me to do. And I made this big long list of all of them, and honoring other men besides me, spiritually speaking, teachers and stuff. And I had this huge list, and this morning I just deleted everything. I deleted all of it. And it was hard. I cried doing it because I felt like I was throwing away my only defense, which is probably true, except for God. And I'm just feeling like crap. She came up and started kissing on me yesterday all over my head and cheek and face, probably 30 kisses, and I had to just sit there. I held her elbow, but I didn't know what to do. And I went into a terrible funk after that. I had to get up and quietly walk out of the room, and I just went and laid on the couch and cried. I am not willing to reconcile with kisses. I'm not willing to have her honor me with her lips, literally, and dishonor me with her heart. And so I have to wait. And as much as I want to kiss her and love her and be back peace with her, I'm not going to do it. I cannot continue to allow this to go on. When your brother sins, you confront. And I am waiting for God to do the confronting. That's another thing I'm denying myself of, is to deny myself the list of things that I could say against her. And I'm not. I want her to see it by God showing it to her, not me. And then I went out today just in a funk for a walk, and just praying, like barely having energy to pray, and you know, seeing 666 every single day. And came back in the house, started putting her food away, and she came up and grabbed me and held me for a few seconds behind, and I just stood there and put my hands on the dish. I didn't respond back to her, and it's killing me to have to do that. It's horrible. It makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong, but I'm not willing to be reconciled with her with no words being spoken, just kissy kissy. I can't do it. I've done this several times, and it backfires. So now I'm experiencing the pain of having to wait, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to quit making these long recordings. I'm going to quit compiling all this evidence against her. And as hard as it is, I'm going to just wait and trust for God to do this. And man, is it hard. Okay, let me explain something here. This is the beginning of a new revelation that God was going to begin to give me about how what was happening between Persis and I is what happens between the bride of Christ and Jesus Christ. You've just heard me begin to be very sorrowful and lament the fact that I cannot receive my wife's affection as reconciliation. That may sound like I'm turning away from her or that I'm sinning by not being willing to be reconciled to my brother, but it is not. There's a reconciliation physically that counts for something, but it counts for nothing if it's not done in the heart. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus Christ, speaking the words of Isaiah to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law around him, he says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." This same principle is beginning to become alive to me, and I'm beginning to understand more and more how Jesus Christ felt when my wife will repeatedly try to come to me and honor me with her physical affection, all the while me knowing that in her heart she harbors resentment and she despises the core of who I am in Jesus Christ. We have no spiritual unity, and we have no unity in our hearts. She's simply trying to make reconciliation with me through physical affection. This is a picture of what the Bride of Christ is doing on almost every single Sunday morning today, where they run and they try to give God all this affection, sing as high and as loud of all these great "You Are the Great I Am" songs. They put on the smiles and praise God's for everyone around them. They are doing nothing more, most of them, than honoring God with their lips. But their hearts, the total essence of their being, who they are Monday through Saturday, is dishonoring to the Lord. When he looks deep into the heart, remembering man looks upon the outside, but God looks on the heart. You might see a woman kissing her husband and think she loves him so much, but she may be still very capable of despising him in her heart. We as a, quote, church, we as the Bride of Christ, much of us are guilty of trying to honor God with our physical affections, our physical money, our physical music playing in our car radios, our physical books sitting on our shelf, our physical presence in a Bible study. But he knows, as it looks down from heaven, at our commitment to him in our heart, our commitment to walk in accordance with who he is, our commitment to him as a person. How often we ignore him as a person, being about all the things that he's about, all the things that he wrote, all of his precepts and teachings, forgetting and ignoring the person. Even worse, going to church on Sundays or Saturdays, whenever you choose to go, and offering God up all this lip service, but then loving the world truly, as evidenced by your actions through the rest of the world. And then we wonder why, when the day comes, we don't feel that lovey-dovey from God. We don't feel that physical affection from him. And we say, "God, we've come to church. We give you all these kissy-kissy, huggy-huggy. We sing the songs. We go to the Bible studies. We worship. Lord, where are you? Why don't I feel? And why aren't you receiving my affection?" My friend, you're seeing it right here in the story of me and my wife. You're seeing it right here. This is an example of what the body of Christ is guilty of, and it's the same reason why the Spirit of Christ in me could no longer receive these affectionate physical kisses from my wife as a solution to reconciliation. There has to be reconciliation in the heart, or there is no reconciliation. There has to be reconciliation at the spirit level with God, or you will never feel the warm and fuzzies that you expect by offering him up lip service.